Hello, all you freedom fiends. This is Nima Vedati here in Austin, Texas. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you're at. And also, Michael W. Dean is here with us. How are you doing, Mr. Dean?
I'm good. I'm broadcasting Charlie Frost style, like the movie 2012 from my satellite internet service out here at Yellowstone National Park on top of an active volcano.
Active in Yellowstone?
Oh, well, no. I mean, they're technically
everybody's gonna
active.
Freak out.
No. I'm
call
not
the, call
no.
the History Channel.
No. It's not an active volcano event, but you know that caldera. It's just a glimmer away from just you know wiping out the world, according to the movie 2012 I just watched, in which there's a guy named Charlie Frost. He's a like pirate radio talk show host, conspiracy guy, played by Woody Harrelson, and he's awesome, and he kind of looks
great.
Like me. And he kind of sounds like Alex Jones, and he's one of my favorite characters ever. And I love that movie until it starts getting good at the end, and they start making it into this socialist parable of, well, we must save the people who aren't rich and couldn't afford the ticket on the Ark. Yeah, that's all I got, man.
Well, the people who built the arcs built the Ark from the stolen money that they extracted from taxpayers' blood, sweat, and tears.
It's just a big government bailout again, as usual.
Yeah, and speaking of government bailouts, I am in
Yellowstone camping today using my satellite internet. I hope it sounds good. I think it sounds pretty good.
Okay.
I could do
this
from anywhere, man.
I could do it
from anywhere, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Speaking of from anywhere, we've got somebody else on with us today. We've
from
got
anywhere.
Alex Fidel. He is from anywhere. That's where he resides. Alex is host of Free Thought Radio. It airs on KKSM AM. 1320 in San Diego. And of course, it's rebroadcast on LRN.FM. You know LRN. That's where we pretty much got our widespread start there. So we got to throw shouts out to Ian over there at LRN.FM. Alex also contributes to freethoughtmedia.org, where he's a citizen journalist and a grassroots activist. And his latest piece is on S987. Now, what is S987? Well, from its stupid cryptic name, you can already tell it's some government shenanigans. But you get more of a sense of what it really is from its Orwellian title, which is the Free Flow of Information Act of 2013. Alex, are you there with us?
Yes, indeed. Thank you guys for having me on.
Oh, no problem. So, yeah, the Free Flow of Information Act. Alex, why shouldn't we have the free flow of information?
I don't know. Why wouldn't you? So this I wrote this article. I started doing some contributing for a reporter here from San Diego Six was doing the reporting on the death of Michael Hastings. So naturally wanted me to start doing writing for her alternative media news site over at thekdreport.com is where I wrote it at. But basically, they wrote this legislation. Actually, a bit of a backstory. So I was obviously not too pleased with hearing about this legislation. So I had a meeting with a staffer from Senator Feinstein's office here in San Diego. And
that's
so
brave. That's very brave of you.
Yeah. So they handed me this Congressional Research Service like summary of the bill, and it was dated actually back to May. So they've been working on this for a while. And the justification of it, well, so the government taps into AP's phone records, right? So they use that as justification for this act. So we, the government, spied on AP illegally. So therefore, we, the government, must write this legislation to protect people like AP in the future from people like ourselves.
Yes, it's very ridiculous, and there's not a whole lot of news on it. And I was wondering why there's not a whole – like if you do a Google News search of S987, you get nothing. If you do it and you add the Free Flow of Information Act, you get a few things, but it's mostly people pitching it as some kind of great thing. It's now we're nationalizing the SHIELD law.
You know what
right?
I think? It's the people that are going to benefit from it are the people who control the flow of information to
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
You know,
yep.
Right. So when you do the Google News search, you get all those mainstream sources saying, yeah, this is great. And there might be some, you know, some bad things in it, like, you know, independent journalists won't be able to be protected. But, who cares about them?
let me get into that. So this is before I didn't read the summary until I left the office, I just kind of was just asking them questions over and over again and asking them to like pardon Chelsea Manning and stuff like that. They were claiming, like, since I said, well, look, I heard that there was a salary, you know, stipulation in there. Like, nope, no salary stipulation. You're actually going to be better protected as a journalist under this legislation. Like, I don't get paid. I don't even have Free Thought, you know, whatever incorporated. So it's like, this is after I left. After I left, I read the thing, and so let me quote it. This is how they define journalists. Quote: "It is clear that lawmakers and media advocates believe that the privilege should apply to journalists employed by the New York Times, the Associated Press, or the Cleveland Plain Dealer. However, the question of whether a person should be considered a journalist becomes murkier when the entity or person in question is a blogger or a website like WikiLeaks.org." End quote. I like the specific mentioning of WikiLeaks.org. That's very
Of course. They want it to be in law that they're demonizing WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. Now, here's the thing that confuses me about this whole Shield Law stuff. I mean, from my understanding, what it is it means journalists can't be compelled in court to divulge their sources. That way, there's no chilling effect. That way, the journalist doesn't lose his reputation. You know, if a lawyer breaks the lawyer-client confidence, then he's going to be disbarred and nobody's going to hire him. So similar things would happen to a journalist who would out his anonymous sources. But, you know, it seems to me, don't we already have that? Like, in court, how are they going to force you, even without any kind of Shield Law, even without the Fifth Amendment, which, couldn't you just use that? Say, well, I'm not talking, or Miranda, like, I'm not talking. Even without those things, just your person, your brain is your own Shield Law, because if you're in court and they're asking you your sources, can't you just not talk?
I would hope so, but I think it's just an extra piece of paper they could point at to, and when they drone Julian Assange, they'll be like, look, it's legal.
Right. They're setting up the dialogue that these people who aren't employed with the New York Times or the Cleveland Free Press aren't journalists. So when we murder them to death, you don't have to be concerned. Well, you know, and it's not like they haven't shot journalists with 50 caliber machine guns from an Apache helicopter. I mean, that's part of why WikiLeaks is so demonized, is because of that collateral murder video where they were shooting at Reuters journalists.
Exactly. And they've been doing this already. Like I said, this is just going to be an extra piece of paper for them to point at and justify, be like, oh, it's legal, therefore it's good, and it'll just allow them to be more prolific, even though they still have a war on journalism, literally. And this is how it goes into it in detail. So the House version would define a quote covered person, and I like that terminology. You're a covered person.
Wow.
to mean quote a person who, for financial gain or livelihood, there's the salary question. A person who, for financial gain or livelihood, is engaged in journalism and includes any entity that employs that person, but does not include foreign powers or those designated as terrorist organizations. In other words, people who earn money as journalists and those entities that employ them are covered by the bill. Let me break down those two points about foreign powers and how it's already been used. You guys remember the ACLU and antiwar.com versus the FBI or whatever?
Right.
You know, Justin Raimondo wrote some articles about certain spies on 9/11 and wrote an article that he's kind of like Barrett Brown. So Barrett Brown is like the kind of informal person from Anonymous, posted a link that was already publicly available. So something that's already publicly available on the internet, he posted it to a forum. It happened to be the publicly available Stratford leak from Anonymous with all these like credit card informations. That's why Barrett Brown is facing 105 years or something like that. What Justin did is he, and this is back in 2002, so this is before all of this like was happening. So they used the Patriot Act on somebody like Justin and antiwar.com. So he linked to a publicly available website with a publicly available document, but the website was foreign. So this is where the foreign powers thing comes in. They were the claim in the like the FBI file or whatever was that they were trying to somehow associate him with a foreign power because he linked to some terrorist watch list that had like the owner of the front moving company or whatever. And that so him and Barrett Brown are in sort of the same situation, except back then it was the Patriot Act, not like whatever they have now. And then the terrorists claim those designated as terrorist organizations. I would just like to point out to David Miranda, Glenn Greenwald's partner, detained under UK terrorism laws. So this is just examples of how they use it already. But this is just going to again this S-987 Free Flow of Information Act is just an additional worthless piece of paper, another law that they can point at and be like, see, we're all knowing, all powerful. Let us kill these truth-telling journalists.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's the administration's war on journalism. They're upping the ante. This is their surge, right? And they're going to say after this passes, the surge against journalism worked. And speaking of Justin Raimondo, he also points out that it's not just a war anymore on journalism, but on free speech itself. In his latest article, he posts about Elijah Trojanov, who was held in Brazil. I think he's a German writer who wrote books critical of the American administration, and they would not let him fly. They said it was a security issue. They wouldn't let him fly from Brazil to the United States. He was supposed to speak at a conference. And writers in the world, you know, this isn't an isolated incident. People who are supposed to be coming to the United States to share information, the free flow of ideas, which is exactly what the bill says it's supposed to promote. The free flow of ideas is being stopped and blocked. And the NSA, you know, because they're the ones who put the security thing on this guy, they say no comment. They don't even want to fess up to what's going on.
Yeah.
And we'll have more freedom fiends when we get back from the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Holla, it's the Freedom Fiends. I am Nima Vedati here in Central Texas, skipping ACL to talk to much more informed people, i.e. Michael W. Dean and Alex Fiddle. Are you guys both with me right now?
Yeah, I'm here. This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting with my satellite phone from the top of the caldera in Yellowstone National Park. I hope I sound good.
All right. And we're talking with Alex about S987, Orwellianly dubbed the Free Flow of Information Act of 2013, pitched as a protection, a federal protection or shield law for journalists. But the poison pill, and maybe even the real reason they're trying to pass it, is because it defines a government, what the government definition of a journalist is, which basically means somebody who gets paid by a major media organization. Now, it seems really scary because these people that they would consider or that they categorize as professional journalists, they don't have a lot of the benefits of a citizen journalist or a whistleblower or a blogger, i.e. they are on a daily grind. They are pumping out their journalist factories. They have to pump out 2 to 3 stories a day, and so they can't really focus. A lot of times they're not in depth. They just scratch the surface. And Alex, in your article on this, you have a really great quote by George Orwell that says, "Journalism is printing what someone else does not want printed. Everything else is public relations." And I remember when I worked in the mainstream media, usually the only time I would talk to senators or congressmen is when they were doing a junket or have a press conference, and you go and everything's controlled and set up. And if you ask something that they don't want asked, they kind of look at you funny, and then they give you politician speak for 2 or 3 minutes where they don't answer your question. Same thing that Barack Obama did to Ben Swan when he asked him about him supporting terrorism in Syria. But you actually went to Dianne Feinstein's office. I guess you didn't talk to the F word herself, but you did talk to the staffers. Go ahead and paint the picture. What was that like?
So I walked in, and I mean, it was, she had you know, gun control magazines and stuff like that. I know people that have like been to her DC office, and she has like DEA museum literature. She was, you know, in the No on 19 campaign here in California.
No on 19. What's that?
Oh, the legalization of cannabis.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, and those listening in the Barstow station, by the way, there is another legalization initiative written by Jack Herer. I don't know if maybe people may have smoked that, but he was a real guy. It's the California Cannabis Hemp Initiative. So find somebody and sign it so he could do it already. I was kind of just bringing up different points about, well, what about her, Senator Feinstein's rabid rhetoric on WikiLeaks? What does this bill have to do with WikiLeaks? And like, oh, absolutely nothing. Like, just completely, even though I have, you know, she gave me the Congressional Research Service summary. I mean, she could have read it herself, but maybe she didn't, but obviously was flat out denying. But they knew I was going to go home and read it and then see that they specifically mentioned WikiLeaks.org as a website not covered by this bill.
Wow. How did they treat you? Did they treat you like, go away, kid, you bother me? I mean, did they not give you the respect that they would give somebody who had a camera with an NBC logo on it, or what?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, I felt like maybe they were kind of waiting to brush me out the door, even though I just kept asking questions and stuff like that and saying, well, I mean, do I look like somebody that deserves to be droned? I mean, I'm in my prime years, and because I end up being a journalist, that's
Did you get the sense that they buy into the BS, or did you get the sense that they're sinister?
Well, maybe not the staffer, because they're just an employee, but at the same time, they're supposed to, that's their job, is to be informed on these things. Maybe Feinstein more sinister, but
I don't know if their job is actually to be informed. I think their job is to tell people what people want to hear.
Yeah.
where do you go from here? Are you going to keep digging? Are you going to keep pushing? Are you going to try to get Feinstein herself? Is that a possibility?
I'm going to send her a letter. I'm going to send her the copy of the, because this was before I wrote the article. This is like my preliminary recon on the article. So I'm going to send her an article. I'm going to send her this thing from like a marijuana group that is like, it's like a candy bar, but it's like, you know, $100,000 for like, that's how much they spend on the war. So I'll, you know, also do let her know how much she's wasting on patients, and we'll have to talk about it more after the break.
We will. We'll keep getting to that. We'll also have more about Troma Films. So go ahead and stick with us. We've got some other independent media stuff coming up for you in just a bit on the Freedom Fiends.
listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. My fellow Freedom Fiends, I put it to you that you have nothing to fear but government itself.
Yeah.
I am Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael Dean, my hype man today. How's it hype going, man. Mr. Dean?
Yeah, I do want to mention that in that great movie 2012, that apocalyptic movie by the guy who did Independence Day, but this one's a little less statist. He actually liked to make fun of the government in it because, okay, it's got like the crazy guy who knows what's happening and no one believes him. And he's a radio show host who broadcasts bent Quaker style from his Winnebago. And they've closed off, the government's closed off Yellowstone. And this scientist sneaks in, played by John Cusack. And they catch him and his kids and throw him out. And when they have him in custody, they're like, he's like, what are you guys doing here? And there's all these army guys around and all this scientific equipment. And they're like, we're nothing. We're doing geology. And he says, do you always do geology with machine guns? There's also a great line in that movie. One of the president's advisors says of the guy with the talk show host with his windowless mobile bunker satellite style. Like I've got, they say of him, you know, it's a sad day when the crazy guy on the corner screaming and holding the cardboard sign turns out to be right. And we are that guy on the corner. So go ahead.
Yeah. We just have better microphones.
Yeah. And satellite. So, yeah.
Speaking of the government and their war on journalism, it's not just American journalists. It's Yemeni journalists, too. Abdullela Haider Shai. I'm not pronouncing that correctly at all. But he's a Yemeni guy. He was so good at getting information from al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula that he had regular work from The Guardian, ABC News, New York Times. Because obviously this guy that speaks the language and knows the local politics is able to get these guys to talk. He's able to source these guys. And yes, they're terrorists, but does that not mean that you can't have journalists going and getting information from them? And he exposed a drone attack as being an American drone attack, whereas the Yemeni government has been claiming credit for all of these strikes, saying that it's their airstrikes. Now, does anybody in the world believe that the Yemeni government has the resources to bomb their own people? And if they did, wouldn't they get those resources from the American government in the first place? And Alex, you've actually noted something. Is it something in the new Senate bill, the Free Flow of Information Act, that references this Yemeni journalist?
No, not specifically, but that's actually what I was wondering before the first break that we took. I was wondering if this only applies to American journalists. I mean, since they're mentioning WikiLeaks.org specifically as some people that are not going to be covered by this bill, Julian Assange is Australian or whatever. Again, this is just going to be another piece of paper that they can point at and justify their actions so they could increase the amount of guns they point at journalists, even though they've been doing it already. But I'm wondering if, like, you know, things like the Yemeni journalist will set a precedent. Yeah, he was trying to uncover that. I don't even think it was a drone attack. I think it was a cruise missile thing. But the canisters had U.S. labeling on it, killed a bunch of children in a village. Nobody had anything to do with terrorism. Obama made a phone call personally himself to the president of Yemen saying to keep the guy in jail.
Right. And then he was in jail for years, wasn't he? I think he was recently released. At least Russia Today reported in the summer. This summer he was released. So I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
All right. But, you know, speaking of media, independent journalists, you know, independent media is also about art. And you're not just a journalist. Is that right? You're into other forms of human expression?
Oh yeah, I came into this as from a musical background and an independent DIY filmmaker. Just always been making music and messing around with independent films.
I checked out your band. I like your band a lot.
Thanks.
Yep.
Yeah, I liked your video. It was supposed to be on the Toxic Avenger, one of the sequels, and it had a intro that was sort of a live action throwback to Red Dead Redemption. It's really awesome.
It's vice versa, Nemo.
Vice versa? Red Dead Redemption is a throwback to his video?
No, it's a throwback to the movie, probably. Nemo doesn't know what Toxic Avenger is. Nima's like, I don't know what that is. I'm too old. I don't know what Troma Films is, but I schooled him.
But the way the scenes were set up were, I mean, it was like the dueling scenes in Red Dead Redemption, right, Alex?
Okay.
Ha.
That wasn't where we got it from, but if that's what it looked like, that's pretty cool.
Ha! Yeah. Yeah, so you worked with Lloyd Kaufman, huh?
So I read his movie, Make Your Own Damn, or read his book, Make Your Own Damn Movie, in high school, and he was talking about all these bands that were making music for him to put in his movies for free because they were just fans.
Yeah.
So I just decided to do the same thing, but I was like more from like a heavy metal background, and I never really heard that kind of thing. I never really heard anybody like a gnarly virtuoso shredder on some Troma movies. So I wanted to try to take that to stake a claim on that before anybody else did, and made a heavy metal song. Wrote some lyrics, made a pretty crappy demo, sent it off. They liked it, even though I was like, I can't sing, so I was doing like Creed vocals for the just to show how.
Yeah, go on.
So then we eventually recorded the song. We got this like kind of like Judas Priest guy to like do these vocals. He has this really cool band called Cage. He's actually like really into like Liberty and stuff. He's pretty cool. But he did the vocals, and then we went on this year-long excursion to make this music video completely independent, on our own, like in-house, even independent from Lloyd. And we were hoping like that it would end up on the Toxic Avenger Part 5 or so. And we did end up signing it, you know, giving them a rights to use it, non-exclusively. So we made the music video over the course of the year in a lot of different places, a lot of desert scenes like that one in the beginning, a lot of really cool place with like a where the main part where the band shots are in this place in the desert in California, but it had like this gnarly purple skyline. It was awesome. I think the highlight was meeting Dennis Woodruff, who's the vagrant actor from Hollywood. At a Kamikaze Expo, he was just so outrageous, and he like interrupted the All That reunion, cast reunion, and he was just an outrageous character. So we had him in this like final scene for the music video, and this didn't end up in the final music video, but I ended up getting an alien probe from Dennis right there in front of the Hollywood sign.
Yeah, Dennis Woodruff.
Wait, what does that mean?
If
you got
don't...
an alien probe.
If people don't know who Dennis Woodruff is, if you've lived in LA, you know who Dennis Woodruff is. He has a really bizarrely painted van with baubles glued all over it that says Dennis Woodruff, actor. He changes it from time to time, but he's homeless, lives in a van down by the river, and literally he's been in a bunch of movies because people in LA just go, that guy will be in a movie if we buy him lunch. Yeah, Lloyd Kaufman Lloyd Kaufman wrote the blurb on my first how-to book, $30 Film School. I'm looking at the first edition of it right now. On the cover, it says, read this excellent book and learn how to produce profitable independent films while sticking your finger in the eyes of the devil-worshipping media conglomerates who are sucking us dry of our spiritual and economic capital. Now, here's the interesting thing I want to know about Lloyd. Lloyd is the ultimate... I mean, he kind of defined guerrilla filmmaking in America, and he makes a good living at it, and he makes decent, you know, B-movies, horror movies with it. The thing I wonder is, he's now married to a woman who is the New York City Film Commissioner. I wonder how he would feel I wonder how she feels, and I'm not, like, insulting her. It's just an interesting dichotomy. You know, he's written all these books on... you know, thumb your nose at the man. Don't get permits. Just run out in the street and start acting and filming and don't ask for permits. You don't need no permission slips. And his wife is in runs the organization that is in charge of bringing in vast amounts of capital to New York City for charging for those permission slips.
Actually, somebody was some punk band was filming a porno outside the Westboro Baptist Church. That's guerrilla filmmaking.
Yeah. So tell me a Lloyd story. I've never met the guy. I've only talked to him on the phone a bunch.
Lloyd. this is what in high school I went to New York to the trauma thing just to go there. I think it's the first time I ever met. No, I may have met Lloyd before in person at like a Comic-Con or something, but I visited the trauma studios in New York. I brought a camera. They were very nice and welcoming. They showed us around and everything. This was actually on the day of the premiere of The Toxic Avenger, the musical. But even then, they were still like very welcome. Lloyd even did like a shout out for the high school TV station that I did stuff for. They had the, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this, but a giant phallic monster from a bunch of different movies, from like Romeo and Juliet and like Poltergeist and stuff. Like, no, it was actually the
Poltergeist.
It was the Poltergeist chicken phallic monster. Correction. So that was in the background. In the school version, I had to like blur out an entire corner of the frame because I didn't think that would be permissible. But he made a Schindler's List joke. He's like, anybody watching, you know, SDA Live or whatever, it's the best station since Schindler's, or like, I've never watched a better thing since I watched Schindler's List. I'm like, all right, I'm getting expelled from high school.
And Lloyd Kaufman, Lloyd Kaufman is Jewish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
actually turned out it was not the case. There were a bunch of teachers that were like, oh, I remember Toxic Avenger back from the day. And the only people that got in trouble were like people who used fake blood in a different skit. That was completely unrelated. So that was pretty cool. I didn't get expelled for Lloyd. And I'm the only time I ever met Ron Jeremy, or was with Lloyd. So, pretty interesting.
Wait, you, Ron Jeremy and Lloyd Kaufman were all hanging out?
At Comic-Con.
Okay. Good times.
So if you've heard the story about how the guys from South Park got their break in Hollywood, right?
Yep, from Troma, Cannibal the Musical.
Yeah, I'll tell this really quickly for those who don't know it. It's a good third-party story here. They were starving. Trey and Matt were starving in their cars, living in their cars in L.A. after being there for a while. And they had this film they'd made, this live-action film, Cannibal the Musical, and they were trying to sell it in Hollywood, and nobody would touch it. Nobody would return their calls. Finally, their hero, Lloyd Kaufman, returned their calls, and he's like, yeah, I saw your little picture. I'd like to meet you guys for lunch and talk about distributing it. And they were like, our ship has come in, and he gave them the address, and they're looking for, like, you know, the Palms or some five-star restaurant, and they go there, and it's like an El Pollo Loco, the restaurant that, like, the chicken restaurant in Breaking Bad is based on. And not only was it at a fast food joint, like, Lloyd didn't pick up their tab. It was Dutch Treat. And, you know, he basically...
That sounds like Lloyd.
Yeah, and he basically said, I'll put out your movie. You're not going to make any money, but I'll put it out. And they said, okay. And that was how they got their start in Hollywood and became what they are today. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends after this break at the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, Doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
All right, welcome back to Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. This is the bottom of hour one, and we've got Alex Fiddle on with me, Nima Vedati, and Michael W. Dean. And Alex has some loose ends he wanted to tie up from our discussion on Senate Bill 987, also dubbed the Free Flow of Information Act of 2013. So elucidate us, Alex.
Sure thing. Well, if anybody wants to read the article, it's at thekdreport.com. I've been doing some contributing to that. It's the Kimberly Dvorak did the. She's from San Diego Channel 6 News TV, but she's like a Ben Swan kind of, and she did the reporting on the Michael Hastings death, which is where no one else would touch. So it's really cool to be on that team. But so what I was quoting this Congressional Research Service summary of the bill, and this has to do with subpoenaing sources. So quote. Whether an entity that acts solely as a host or conduit for information it receives from outside sources, such as WikiLeaks.org, could be said to be engaging in journalism is unclear and would likely need to be determined by a court. Additionally, the Senate version creates a list of individuals, so it would actually create like an enemies list, like a separate kill list for journalists exclusively. Wow. And organizations that would be excluded from the definition of journalists, including, quote, agents of foreign powers, individuals on the terrorist watch list, those affiliated with terrorist organizations, and those who have committed terrorist acts. So and in relation to domestic terrorism, the Concord, New Hampshire City Council asking for a bearcat because the Free Staters and the occupiers are, quote, domestic terrorists. I actually live in a town that also has accepted Homeland Security grants in Encinitas, California. They accepted Homeland Security grants after they already used and deployed an armored vehicle locally here in town. But we don't have the concentration of smart people like the Free State Project does. So I came to that city council meeting on accident with a pre-prepared speech on the police state. And I'm like, whoa, is this actually happening? So I recently FOIA'd them over what strings are attached with that funding, who they consider a domestic terrorist, because the FBI has their new Communities Against Terrorism program where they're going into these local governments saying look out for these terrorists. That includes, people with certain political views, Muslims, and, quote, people who harbor conspiracy theories about 9/11. Now, I don't consider myself a conspiracy theorist, but I did have it. I told the city council this straight up. I don't care what you believe, as long as you're nonviolent. This is America, and dissent is the highest form of patriotism, and you have a right to do that. Even if I may not agree with it. And then I told them that I, as a journalist, I may not agree with everything this guy had to say, but I had an honest and open interview on my radio show with the founder of Architects and Engineers on my show. So I'm wondering if I'm on there, if I'm on that hit list or whatever. And especially with this journalism law, I think it all ties in, and it's just, it's not looking good. And I don't really like where this is going. And this ties into, Kimberly Dvorak from the one that I'm working with, one of her reports on Hastings, she cited something that WikiLeaks put out. It was one of their Strat4 email hacks, and this is one of the memos, and this is certainly a startling one. It has to do with the CIA and the war on journalism. So it is literally, quote, it's a very short email. It basically says, quote, Brennan is behind the witch hunts of investigative journalists, learning information from inside the Beltway sources. There is a specific tasker from the White House to go after anyone printing materials negative to the Obama agenda, end quote. So they, that is it all wrapped up in a barrel. Like they could consider us domestic terrorists because we're libertarians and journalists.
They consider free speech domestic terrorism, basically.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that word affiliated with terrorists. I mean, what does an affiliation mean? Does that mean you've ever talked to one?
Separations.
Right. Right. And even unwittingly or wittingly as a journalist, like in the case of the Yemeni. I mean, how are we supposed to know who they consider a terrorist? It's impossible to know what their exact definition is because it's such a weasel word the way they word these things. And it just ends up being whoever they don't like.
Definitely.
Hey, Alex, where can people find your show?
freethoughtmedia.org, and tomorrow I have Christina from Free and Equal, Ernie from Freedom's Phoenix, and I will re-air this on the show tomorrow. So freethoughtmedia.org. Thanks.
Excellent.
All right. And we'll have plenty more Freedom Fiends coming up for you in hour two. So go ahead and stick around for plenty of Feeny goodness. Worms.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
All right, welcome back to hour two of the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I'm Nima Vadati. We've also got co-host Michael W. Dean and third wheel Ben Stone here with us.
Third wheel on this three-wheel motorcycle. It doesn't work without the third wheel in this hour. How you doing, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker?
Hey, guys. Good to be back on again.
Yeah. You're starting to become a regular guest on the Freedom Fiends, and we like that. This is Michael Dean. I'm broadcasting live and worldwide using my new satellite radio system from the top of the caldera in Yellowstone. Now, I'm actually at home, but or near my home. I'm at a coffee shop in the back of a coffee shop down the street, just trying out my new satellite phone. I like it. So I wanted to talk about printable drugs. Because,
printable drugs? Is that a thing?
Not yet. Well, sort of maybe. because we talked about we have an ongoing saying here on the Freedom Fiends, and it's that internet to replace government by 2020. And that's a bumper sticker I saw in San Francisco when the internet was first getting traction around 1996. And I think the idea, since it was San Francisco, of whoever had that, I'm imagining the idea was, you know, we won't need to vote directly. You know, we could just all choose, all pick everything on the internet. Like I want, I don't know what would be worse, man. Everybody doing that, or the people doing that who do that, who are elected. Both are worse and louder than everything else. It would be horrible. But I think, and Nima thinks, and Ben thinks, that maybe the internet could replace a lot of the services of government. And that's the only thing the government has other than, you know, pointing guns at your head when you don't want to do what they want you to do. All they really have that they can claim is they do a few services. You know, they deliver your mail poorly, and they put people out of business who want to compete with them delivering mail better. You know, they don't like competition, even though they do everything inefficiently, everything horrible. They do a few other things. Roads.
Yes, ostensibly, they defend you. But what they actually end up doing is just making sure you're complying with their
edicts. Hey, I'll tell you this, man. The The road in back of my house was blocked, and no government. I mean, there's roads blocked all over town from trees down. The government didn't build that being fixed. I did. I went out there with my wife yesterday and pulled stuff out of the road. We tried to buy a chainsaw yesterday, and for some reason, every store in town was sold out of chainsaws. I don't know if people are clearing trees or planning some kind of.
It was an ICP convention.
Chainsaw militia. Yeah, but we got one on order. But yeah, we just went out and just hauled them out of the road so cars could go through the alley. People go through it. People use it. And the government didn't do that. And a lot of stuff is being done. You know, the government didn't come around and get my power on. The power company came around and got our power on. So even the services they do, they did give me a couple reverse 911 calls saying, you can go to the Red Cross. But you know what? My neighbor came and knocked on my door when our power was out and said, if you guys are hungry and cold, my church is having a free dinner tonight since the power's out. And he invited us to come down and go to church. And we were like, that's really sweet. You know, neighbors helping neighbors. We didn't go because we had food and we were warm and we didn't want to get dressed up and go out. But yeah, the private market tried to take care of that. That's
well,
all I got.
I don't think any of the services, the quote, services that the government provides, they do as that's what they're trying to do. It's just a justification, right?
It's a cover. I mean, cover story.
Yeah, it's a cover. The services that you would say the internet provides, people like Yelp and Angie's List, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get people to come to their site because it's a trustable site so they can sell advertising space on their sites.
Yeah, and
or
Yelp,
membership fees.
The online review hub Yelp has jumped 263% in usage just this past year. And Zillow, the real estate listing site, is up 211% this year. And that's really, you know, a lot of, like people think that some things are government that even aren't. I wonder why that is. Like Underwriters Laboratories, the people who, you know, will certify electrical devices as won't kill you under normal operation. You know, they test them. Consumer Reports, the magazine. You know,
the Better Business Bureau. Sometimes people confuse that.
That is not the government. That's absolutely not the government. Yep. So if you are a person who doesn't like to run to the mommy and daddy of the state when you're wronged, is wronged by a business, you can feel right about saying, I'm going to take this to the Better Business Bureau. And, you know, I've actually had a few businesses who were wronging me make it right really quickly as soon as I said that. And I didn't say it like, I'm going to get the Better Bureau. I said, like, you know, I'm thinking of contacting the Better Business Bureau about this. Like, they will immediately take your call. They'll immediately start working towards a solution most of the time. I mean, there are, you know.
Well, you know what I think it is in Anatomy of the State, Murray Rothbard talks about the pronoun we as being a big detriment to the way people conflate society and government. And, you know, and yeah. Ian Freeman gets all Sheldon Cooper about it, and you just won't hear it if you're saying, we need to do this, we need to do that. But I think that they also works because there are a lot of people who just say they need to do this, they need to do that.
Yeah.
And they think of the they. And one example I have is Geekville. Me and my wife like to sit in bed sometimes at the end of the night, and we'll look at Geekville, and it's basically just posts of meme after meme after meme after meme. And there was one that says, if you can't afford a lawyer, one will be provided for you. If you can't afford a doctor, you're effed. It's like they don't realize that, well, if you need a lawyer, it's because the government is pursuing action against you. And so as a nod to some sort of protection, they're going to steal taxpayer monies to provide a lawyer from you. And I can't tell if they think that, well, medical services, that's all government. You know, maybe it is because it's so captive of a market. But I think people just think of the authorities as these people who provide them services, and they don't realize the distinction between services that are supposedly voluntary and services that are rendered through government force.
Yeah, and I have a little bit of non-state follow-up here about something the state did. A friend of ours, Jillian, who was being contacted by Mark Stevens a year ago about her felony drug problems in Texas, of her facing felony problems in Texas. Mark Stevens, I didn't know him from Adam, and then he contacted her and said, you know, gave her, oh, I have to word this carefully, or he'll like say, I don't know what he's going to say, but he said, I can help you. And he told her things that really would have helped her and would have put her in a cage forever. And yesterday a guy called in and talked about having Mark Stevens had the same thing, you know, he took Mark Stevens' advice, and he's now facing 45 years in prison. It didn't help him at all. It hurt him, he said. And I guess Mark Stevens is going to do a big, like, expose on us and that guy today on his show. That's what I'm hearing. But, you know, hey, it's the free market. If you have a good service and you're offering it and people like it, you can withstand one or two bad reviews. It happens all the time, man. And if people get all upset about it, I mean, they could go on their own bandwidth and correct it or complain or whatever. But I want to write Jillian wrote me and said that, you know, I asked her what happened because I want to have a follow up because we did talk extensively about Jillian. And she wrote back and she did not take Mark's advice. She went the lawyer route and it could have, you know, people were saying, no, you need to not use a lawyer. But here, Nima's going to read what she wrote and how it went with using a lawyer. And it's not great, but it's better than what she probably would have done by going in and saying, I challenge you. Who gives you authority to rule over me? You know?
Yeah. Well, Jillian says that the Texas stuff went as well as it could. I accepted a misdemeanor plea with a $1,300 fee, yikes, which included, quote, court costs. Ah, the court costs. The whole ordeal ended up costing about $5,000 between lawyer, travel, motel, court fines. I let my lawyer know when he was briefing me on the plea deal about how I smelled my hash burnt in the sheriff's car. His eyes got big and he asked me if I wanted to have the hash weighed. If I would have sent that back to the labs, I would be facing a felony with 2 to 10 years in butt-backwards jail. I declined because of the obvious risks of the lab sending back whatever they wanted. Yeah. They were stealing the profits from my labor, and that's what the whole ordeal was about.
Yeah. And that's not a great thing to have happen to you, but it's better, I'm pretty darn sure, than if she'd gone in and just done the thing that Mark Stevens was suggesting that maybe she ask, you know, like saying to the judge, what is your jurisdiction and things like that? You know, how do you have the power to say this? And I agree with Mark Stevens 100% that the government has no moral authority to do the things they do. But when you know, point that out in open court in felony cases, it may work well in traffic tickets or misdemeanors. But when you do it in felony cases, we had a guy call yesterday who said he's facing 45 years now and they are just out to get him because he tried the what is your moral basis action in court. And
let's ask Ben. I want to know. So the government is a fiction. Is there any way you think, Ben, to use that obvious fact towards people who are already bent in a status mindset and have their bread buttered on the status side because they're judges or prosecutors?
Well, I think your guest yesterday and Jillian in the letter that you just read hit it right on the head when he said yesterday, you know, it's kind of like talking to a thief and saying, by what authority do you rob me? And in Jillian's case, it's like it all boils down to what's it really about? It's really about getting the money out of your pocket and getting it into their pocket.
It's about do not pass go, do not pass through Eastern Texas or Western Texas without paying $5,000. It's just a monopoly game thing. And you can play it on their rules and pay $5,000, or you can play it on your own rules and end up in prison for decades and hundreds of thousands.
And still pay the $5,000. Yeah.
Testified, Brother Ben.
Because that's really what it's about. I mean, it's all about control. It's about power. And you can point out that it's evil, and all you'll do is anger them. I mean, you can, you know, as the lion is eating you, you can poke him with a stick and make him madder. But, you know, it doesn't change his goal. And then that's the thing. We're dealing with a beast that feeds off of our labor. And until we open our eyes, all of us, and see that and decide that the market has something better for us than oppression.
There's a Boston Tea Party quote that I think would fit with doing that kind of sovereign mechanizations in a courtroom in felony cases. Boston, and he was talking about something else, about like complaining about your rights as they're being taken away. But it is kind of the same thing. He said, yeah, that'll work. All fish wriggle, you know, all fish wriggle when hooked, when caught.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the same thing when you're actually facing the cop himself, when he's doing the act of arresting you or giving you a ticket or whatever. And you can harass him. You can call him names. You can, appeal to his better side. Haven't you thought about that? You work for me. Don't you realize I pay your salary? Those things never work. They never, ever work. So why would it work with a judge?
Right. Because if the cop doesn't like the cut of your jib and he kills you, or is violent to you, there's no negative repercussions towards him at all.
Yep. We'll have more when we come back from the market. And check out statelesssweets.com, Jillian's wonderful food site.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends. Worms, worms. Worms, worms.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. This is Dima Vidati here with Michael W. Dean and Ben Stone. How's it going, guys?
Excellent. 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 Ben, are you there?
I'm here. Doing great.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just talked to my wife on the break, who's a paralegal for a criminal, for an attorney who does criminal cases all the time. And she was astonished at how light Jillian got off. Like $5,000, including travel and hotel to go to another state and use a public defender and deal with felony drug cases in West Texas. Her jaw dropped. She was just like, yeah, she got off good, you know. And that's and my wife doesn't think, oh, you know, people should pay the price if they do crimes. Like, she's absolutely against the war on drugs, but she understands how it works. She's in court, you know, she's in court all the time, all day, every day, and sees how it works. And sees how it can work and how it can harm people. Jillian got off pretty well. And Jillian, we want to do a shout out to her company, statelesssweets.com. Go to statelesssweets.com and check out the yummy confectionaries that she makes. And, you can get them for, they make excellent stocking stuffers and holiday gifts. You've had them, Ben, haven't you? What do you think of Stateless Sweets?
I have had Stateless Sweets, and they're really, really good. I was at the New Hampshire Liberty Forum, and she had a table set up there, and she actually shared some with me for free, and they were excellent. Then we bought some, of course, but you can't not buy them once you've tasted them.
They should be a Class A felony. They're so addictive. Stateless Sweets. No, they shouldn't. But yeah, man, we dig them. So go to statelesssweets.com and check that out. So we were talking about printable drugs before we went to the break. We're kind of getting to it with a bunch of side trips to legal land and other places. And the thing is, if government is going to be replaced by the internet, there's a few more things the internet has to be able to do. I mean, you can do all your communication on it now. You can do your radio show. You can buy everything you need. You can have it shipped. You can find out what merchants are good, what services are good, what legal services are good. You can find anything you want on the internet. You can also get guns now. You can buy guns on Silk Road, or you could, or the clones of Silk Road, or the similar sites of Silk Road. And you can print guns now, but you can't, and you can order drugs, but you can't print, and you can order prescription drugs from other countries. They're cheaper because they don't have the, as much government enforcement on them as they do here. But you can't yet print drugs. And we want to talk about a few different things of printable drugs, how that could work. What do you got, Nemo? Yeah,
there's actually people who are working on it. Pretty amazing scientist. The Guardian did an article, I think, in July of last year on Lee Cronin, who's a chemist. And one of his main life's work is he wants to create inorganic life or evolutionary algorithms for inert matter. Which is an amazing thing. But that's the caliber of this guy. And his side project, you know, his side gig is he wants to help create a machine that would be a chemistry printer, basically something you could hook up with a USB to your PC or your Mac. And it would be able from, I guess, some basic building blocks to create the article says pharmaceuticals. But once that's been hacked and open sourced and outsourced to everybody in the world via the internet, I would imagine all sorts of complex compounds could be created with it. You know, in a TED talk, he said, you know, could we make a really cool universal chemistry set? Can we app chemistry? And basically, he says, yeah, we could.
The problem with TED talks is while they do have some of the most brilliant and forward-thinking futurist scientists out there, the people who actually are going to make stuff happen that's going to change the world, they also tend to almost universally be really kind of statist. Like, they're like, yes, 3D printers will revolutionize the world, but we can't have people printing guns. We have to have the government to prevent that. And it's just, you know, it's kind of like once something's on the internet, you can't play whack-a-mole. Yep. It's like taking pee out of a swimming pool with a spoon. And, you know, there's a movie called Strange Days, which is really wonderful, which is about software drugs. It's about this not too distant kind of apocalyptic, but not quite there yet future. It came out in 1999, and it takes place all in 24 hours on New Year's Eve, 1999. And in the movie, it was made like years before that, 5 years before that or something. In the movie, there's this thing that people have that goes on your head with electrodes, and then you feed software into it with a little like mini disc player in this movie. That's what the high capacity portable technology was at the time. And it basically stimulates your brain to recreate situations of stimulation or fear or whatever. And you buy, like, it's illegal and there's an underground black market for it. And you buy like an experience, you know, like someone will go carjacking and film it, or someone will make love on a beach or something and film it. And you can buy these things and it can be downloaded. And we're probably not that far away from that on the Freedom Fiends. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, not your dad's talk radio.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Back once again, it's on. This is the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I am Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Michael?
I'm good. And we're talking about how government can be replaced by internet by 2020. And I got this email from Derek, who's a programmer for the Fiends. We are looking for another C-sharp programmer to work with Derek. But you could write us at talkback@freedomfiends.com. So he says, I'm enjoying your perspective on the Silk Road. There's definitely a lot of parallels here with Napster and the evolution of file sharing. He says, the idea of Napster, which didn't work well, eventually evolved into BitTorrent, which is amazing. I'm looking forward to the BitTorrent version of Silk Road. And that's what led me to thinking of, like, he's talking about getting things, but I'm talking about, like, not having them sent to you, like getting them over the software. And a similar evolution has taken place with nicotine. I mean, it used to be, a few years ago, the only way to have a nicotine habit was to have rolled up burnt leaves in a piece of paper and have a tube in your mouth and burn it and inhale smoke, which is really bad for you. And this sort of like government unregulated evolution of invention took place to where you can have e-vapes with liquids with like really clean hits on them. And it's still addictive. It's still nicotine, but it doesn't. Ooh, I hear the train. Bring in the new BitTorrents into NEMA. But it doesn't harm you. Well, I'm not going to make medical claims. Put it this way. I feel a lot healthier, and my cats will hang out with me. When I was smoking, my cats ran away from me, but they'll come cuddle with me as long as I don't vape at them when I'm vaping. And that kind of evolution is really simple, and it's like, you know, you could even envision this. There's not a lot of technology in this. Mm-hmm. It's just done better. And if those kind of things happen, it could happen with everything. And I actually look at, like, people say, well, nicotine's addictive and it's bad for you. But I think nicotine is a nutrient, kind of like a steroid that doesn't have bad side effects. Like, nicotine and caffeine, I feel, are, like, mentally helping me evolve to post-human or transhuman, like, become a better person. And I couldn't do everything I do and have the work ethic I do without nicotine and caffeine, or at least I wouldn't enjoy it as much. And I love them. And you know, I was thinking about like being without, okay, like if you were without power for weeks, if the Schumer hit the fan, you know, and you were out of nicotine vape and you had a thing that had like tubes, you know, like a printer that had four tubes, like carbon, nitrogen, hydrogen, and oxygen. It could just print you up some nicotine. The longest I've been without power, the other day I was about 17 hours in the winter, and that's kind of can get dire. And after a few days, it wouldn't have gotten dire. We had everything we needed for weeks. But, you know, the longest I've been without power before that was 3 days. That was in the quake of 89 in San Francisco. We didn't get power for 3 days in the poor neighborhoods. They got power in the rich neighborhoods in a day and a half, which shows you how the like everyone's democratic and socialist works in San Francisco. The rich people that vote and bribe the politicians still get their power on quicker. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're thinking about like, in the kind of Schumer hits the fan situation like that, printable drugs wouldn't just be for like getting high. It'd be like if you were injured and needed penicillin or morphine, or, you know, if you had someone who was insulin dependent or thyroid medication dependent, you could print it out. You wouldn't have to wait for the government to come save you. And, you know, so it'd be like therapeutic without pharmaceutic. And I'll throw that to Nima.
Yeah, yeah. Although that would still be pharmaceutic. You'd still be making chemicals that you ingest or inject, I guess you could do too, but still putting those chemicals your body.
You'd vape them all.
Well, I wonder, you know, we were talking about that movie you were referring to where you put electrodes and you can transfer
Strange Days
to your mind. And, you know, Total Recall, that's kind of the concept too, is you sit in the chair and there's this brain machine and it makes your brain think that things are happening that really aren't happening. And, you know, that kind of stuff is a possibility. And the brain is such an amazing, powerful thing.
And sci-fi is always like the template for sci-reality. You know, like, why do you think your cell phone looks like a Star Trek communicator? Because the people who designed it grew up watching Star Trek 30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Why do you think your NSA leader sits in a Star Trek deck? You
know, in the hollow deck, reading all the emails. Yeah.
But couldn't we bypass, you know, eventually, I don't know if this would work for everything, but couldn't some things bypass the chemical process of eating something and having it go through your stomach walls into your bloodstream and then make changes in your body? Couldn't those changes originate in the brain?
And you're not talking,
something tell your brain to produce a certain hormone that you're lacking.
Not saying put, you know, inject it into your brain. You're saying like electrically have it happen in your brain and do the same thing the chemical in your stomach would do. Yeah.
Exactly, or a similar thing. I mean, it could go off in other directions. I mean, if the problem, if the way the problem solved originates in your brain, maybe it could be solved a different way than the same chemicals. But you know, this could be have tremendous effects on something like therapy, right? I mean, sitting down talking to a therapist, what the therapist is trying to do is trying to get you to work through things.
No, they're trying to brainwash you now because they're all owned by the government. But psychotherapy, talk therapy, was invented by the Russians to get confessions freely out of people without coercion. That's a fact.
Okay. But there's still something to be said for talking through something that maybe you're suppressing and haven't worked through. Maybe there could be something that helps you work through that on a personal level. You know how language used to always be taught by a teacher or by, you know, immersing yourself in a culture. Now with software, you have things like Rosetta Stone that imitate or mimic that immersion. You could have things like that mimic or imitate working through something. Or if you can transfer experience, if you could do that like in this movie, you could transfer the experience or help yourself relive something so you can remember what it is that the root cause of your current hurt and depression.
Psychotherapy, there's an app for that. I mean, really, like there's a thing called the Turing test, which dates back to Alan Turing, a computer scientist way back in the day. The Turing test is can a what a computer outputs and inputs when dealing with a human be indistinguishable from a human? And there are programs that can do that. Like you type something and it types something back and it kind of interacts with you humanly. But it always kind of sounds like a therapist to me because it's always like, you know, like you say, I'm happy. And it's like, oh, Nima, why are you happy? Tell me why you're happy. You know, it kind of just plays. It's got a little smarter than that, but I think there probably should be or could be or maybe is an app for, I don't know. I don't know if I want to trust machines for that just because the government would be looking at what it's saying. You know, I mean, there's so much technology that I'd be in favor of if the government was taken out of it.
Right. But I mean, that's why there are things that try to bypass or keep the government out, you know, things like Tor, things like Bitcoin that try to keep the government out of these new technologies so they don't sour them and the new technologies end up suffering from the same baggage that that the real world forms of those technologies.
And the government says, you're putting a sign on your virtual clubhouse that says no feds allowed, so we're going to break down your door and crush your clubhouse, your treehouse. What do you think, right? Ben Quaker? Ben?
That's kind of what government always does. They can't handle the idea that you might be doing something that they're not involved in or that doesn't glorify them in some way. I think that was the most dangerous aspect of the Silk Road was not so much that individual, you know, substances might be passed back and forth. It was just the idea that it could be done and they couldn't do anything about it. I think that was the right. real stinger to them.
It inflamed their libido dominandi. They realized there were people out there that were doing something they told them not to do and getting away with it.
Yeah, exactly. Which they just can't tolerate. You know, it's all a power thing. It's like, you know, it's like that dominant, that tendency of your school teacher to make sure that every single set of eyes in the classroom was staring at her the whole time. It's that same kind of mentality.
And Ben, you've brought something to our attention too that we hadn't touched on yet. So if we want to switch gears here, you said somebody self-immolate on the mall, or what happened?
Yeah, it's getting a little bit more attention now, but yeah, the guy poured gasoline all. First off, according to some of the witnesses, they went to the trouble of the guy set up a tripod, set up a camera, talked to the camera. Went over, turned his back to the camera, poured gas on himself, set himself on fire. And then passerbys started ripping off their shirts, running over and trying to put out the flames and help him. As of the last thing I read, his name has not yet been released and why he did it has not been released. And that's kind of typical. You know, there was a guy named Tom Ball in Keene, New Hampshire in June 15th, 2011. Yeah. Who did the same thing in protest of how the courts there, he did this right on the court steps, and he did it as a protest to the way the courts had destroyed his life and destroyed his family. And they made every effort to not let that story out. They literally ran out there, scooped him up, and began immediately scrubbing and repainting to keep, and they destroyed the, wow. The security films of it happening. They immediately destroyed those films, so that no one could see the tragedy and see how this man had given his life for this cause. And I smell the same kind of thing happening at the National Mall there with them not saying who he is or why he did it.
You know, this is kind of an off topic, but I'm looking at the picture now. The guy's African-American. There have been a bunch of things lately that were African-American people with things that the government usually likes to blame on crazy white people with guns, like, or crazy white people. Like the guy shooting up the Navy Yard was black. The lady who allegedly crashed into the White House, I still don't think she did, was black.
And Miriam Carey.
Yeah, thank you. She has a name. Yeah. When you die in Project Mayhem of the government, you have a name. So, and then this guy's black, and it's like, what? I don't know. I guess like stuff that's over the top and nutty isn't just for white people anymore. I don't even know what that means, but
okay. Yeah, I was wondering where you could go with that. I don't know. I guess I shouldn't be laughing at all because I've just opened this link and these images are
this is appalling, horrific. Man.
There's actual pictures of this guy burning, and if you guys remember, a lot of people say the Arab Spring started with a man doing this in Tunisia who was a fruit seller. He was a vendor of produce, and the government wanted him to have permits, and he was just trying to feed his family, and they wouldn't allow him to sell his wares. They required so many hoops for him to jump through that this is what he ended up doing. So I imagine the powers that be shake in their boots, quake in their boots at this kind of stuff. Maybe because people say and point to that as something that sparked, no pun intended, the Arab Spring.
ABC covered it. There's an ABC video at the bottom of this, but it's a local ABC somewhere.
Yeah, and BBC also has a thing. It's the top of the Google News search.
This is horrific,
Google
man.
News search for this.
I mean, it's on the National Mall. I'm assuming it must have some kind of political statement, or he'd do it, you know, somewhere else maybe. I don't know. Wow.
Now,
it's funny in the stories that I read, they continually say that it happened between the Air and Space Museum and the Art Museum, and they don't say that it happened directly in line with the Capitol.
Huh.
Yeah. And no matter what the question is, self-immolation is not the answer.
Yeah.
Unless the question is what happened on the National Mall today. I guess I did myself in there. But we'll be back with more on that when we get back from the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
All right. Thank you so much for sticking with us, Freedom Fiends. It is our live talk radio show. This is the bottom of hour number two. I'm Nima Vedotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean and the Bad Quaker Ben Stone.
Yeah, and we're the Freedom Fiends, the show that wants you to have the right to live under a bridge as long as it's privately owned and operated and you have express written or oral consent from the owner of the bridge. We didn't specify that part yesterday. We're going to play this really quick again for people who didn't catch it yesterday. Senator Grayson, Congressman Grayson.
Don't give him senator. He doesn't deserve that.
Who is a Democrat who's kind of anti-war, but other than that, he's not very good. He's been on the Scott Horton show, which is probably where he's heard of the Freedom Fiends, because he's using the word Freedom Fiends now, which is our word. We built that. Nima built that. I helped spread it, and we spread it. It's our word, and he used it as a cuss word. And he's making fun of Tea Party Republicans, and we don't think they go far enough. But here it is him on the Bill Maher show the other day, calling certain Republicans freedom fiends.
I think there's really three Republican parties. There's the corporate shills. There are the religious fanatics. And then there are the freedom fiends, the ones who want to make sure that you have the right to sleep under a bridge. So,
yeah. Yep. That's us.
Although I guess you do have the right to sleep under a government bridge, since it's not really owned property. It's not owned legitimately by anybody. So you can homestead the bridge.
We built that. Yeah, but just try it. They'll throw you out.
Yeah.
So we were talking about Miriam, who'd been killed by government goon guns for allegedly ramming something. They're saying now that she had postpartum depression and was off her psych meds, which is probably going to lead the government to push to make sure you're on your psych meds if you have a temporary condition like postpartum depression, that you're permanently on psych meds, and probably step up the desire to put a kill switch in cars and all sorts of monitors, and especially if you've ever said, I don't like the government, or I'm depressed. And not just a kill switch, but maybe a switch that would not just kill the car, but would kill you. What do you got about that, Ben?
The ghost of Michael Hastings would say they have that already.
Explain Michael Hastings real quick.
He was a reporter that did some really good work, one of which is still available in Rolling Stone magazine. And he's exposed a lot of the corruption of government. And he was on the verge of going after the CIA and exposing a really big story on them. He sent private messages to a bunch of people and emails that he was right on the verge of something, but that he needed to disappear and get off the radar. And he was even in contact with WikiLeaks attorneys. And that night, his brand new, very expensive luxury car accelerated, went at a very high rate of speed, and either blew up or smashed into a tree, with the engine launching and landing like 100 feet away or further than that. And he was dead, according to the coroner, before the fires of the explosion actually got to him. But the car burned horrifically. And the odd thing about this is that right in the time frame when it took place, there was one of the big security muckety mucks did an interview and said, "Yeah, this is the kind of a thing that we can do with these new cars,
with luxury cars." And Miriam was driving a luxury car too. Maybe somebody hacked it and made it spin out of control and do things she didn't want it to do. Maybe they made it. Maybe someone made it ram it. And you know, maybe not even a government. Maybe a hacker. You know, Boston Tea Party said of smart guns, like ones that have fingerprint recognition or whatever, he says, "I don't trust my life to something that can fail one time out of 10,000. And, you know, that is better than most computer-controlled systems will fail. I mean, think about how often your computer crashes, even today, when they're better than they used to be.
Yeah, this is why I take the Eric Peters line and try not to buy cars that are, you know, the newfangled ones with computers and software that run pretty much every system in the car.
Yeah.
One of the odd things with the Michael Hastings situation was that right after he was killed in his car, a prominent hacker who was also working on how cars are hacked into died mysteriously in his apartments. The story is maybe a heart attack or something, but he was like early 30s, if I recall.
And, you know, the average person thinks that that kind of stuff is okay if governments do it. I mean, even in that movie 2012... the president's men have the head of the Louvre Museum in France, the Louvre, killed because he's going to give a press conference and tell everyone, you know, the world is ending and they're having us hide the great artworks from the apocalypse. And he's killed in a tunnel, kind of Princess Di style, on the Freedom Fiends.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.